إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وجل وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة دلالة وكل دلالة في النار أما بعد. We begin by praising Allah عز وجل and acknowledging that He is the one that we worship. He is the one that we seek aid from, and He, Allah عز وجل, is the one that we seek forgiveness from. Whoever Allah guides, there is none to mislead that person. And whoever is misled, not following the correct way, then none can guide him except Allah عز وجل alone. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own selves and the evil of our own actions. I testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah عز وجل alone, who has no partners whatsoever, and that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. After that, the best speech, speech is the book of Allah عز وجل. And the best guidance, the only guidance, is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the worst of all affairs are the newly invented matters. And every newly invented matter in worship is misguidance. Every misguidance leads to the hellfire. What I recited there was something which is called the Khutbat al-Hajj. The Prophet ﷺ used to begin his lectures, his khutbah, his needs for the nikah, and these type of things. He would begin with his Khutbat al-Hajj. This is a very important khutbah that the Prophet ﷺ used to begin with, because the people of the first generation of Muslims, they used to say this khutbah. They used to say this speech, these statements, to prepare the people for what they would say. Even some of those great scholars of the early times, they used to write this in their books, in the introduction. Yeah, they used to write this as to prepare the people for what they were going to say. Inshallah, today what we will cover is a very famous hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Because for the Muslim, he's always looking for guidance. But he has to look in the correct place for the guidance. The guidance comes from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in the correct understanding of the first three generations, which is taken from the scholars. So we look at the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. So today we're going to cover a hadith which is very famous, very well known, and it will be a reminder and a benefit for us. And this hadith is taken from a small book, a very small collection of hadith called Arba'een al-Nawawiyyah, by the great scholar of hadith and fiqh, the great scholar Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, a very small book. But this book is full of ahadith, the sayings, the pearls, the beautiful wisdom that came from the Messenger of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this book has principles, hadith, which contain principles. And these principles are very important for our daily lives and for all our actions. So the hadith that we're covering today is a hadith from Tamim ibn Aws al-Dari, radiallahu anhu, companion. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-deen al-nasiha." Yeah? Very easy, few words, "Ad-deen al-nasiha." Then the companions, they said, "Liman, for who?" Deen al-nasiha, the word in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the deen, the religion, is nasiha, sincerity. Okay, and we're going to look at this word nasiha, what does it mean? So they said, the Prophet ﷺ said, ad-deen, the religion, and nasiha, ad-deen and nasiha. So the companions asked, to whom is this sincerity? Whom is this nasiha to? And this is why it's very important for us as Muslims, that we go back to see, how did the companions understand what the Prophet ﷺ said? Because the Prophet ﷺ was a teacher. He was the best of the teachers. And the Sahaba, the companions, were the students, and they were best of the students. So we go back to their understanding. So we find that this, when they asked, to whom, who is this sincerity, who is this nasiha to? They said, the Prophet ﷺ said, قَالَ لِلَّهِ, yeah, to Allah, for Allah, وَلِكِتَابِهِ, for his book, وَلِرَسُولِهِ, for his messenger, وَلِعَيْمَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَعَمَّتِهِمْ, for the leaders of the Muslims and their common folk. This hadith is a very famous hadith, and it's authentic hadith. This hadith has been transmitted in the book Sahih al-Muslim. Sahih al-Muslim, as the Muslims know, that this is the second book or one of the most authentic books after the Quran. After the Quran, which is a perfect book, the book after that is Sahih al-Bukhari, and the one after that is Sahih Muslim. And this is a collection of hadith, collection of the statements of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this very famous hadith, Adina Nasiha, to Allah and His Book and His Messenger and to the leaders of the Muslims and the common folk, this is a very famous hadith. So the first benefit that we want to look at from this hadith is, what is the meaning of Nasiha? Yeah, what is the meaning of Nasiha? So we find that from the great scholars of linguistic, the great scholars of language, of the Arabic language, they mention that nasiha, to advise something, is to be sincere. And nasih, the doer, the subject, is the one who is sincere in his action and other than his actions. So this is what it comes down to, the word dina nasiha, it comes down to sincerity. Because Arabic language is a very powerful language. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal chose the Arabic language, for the Quran to be revealed in the Arabic language. And He chose a people, the best of generations, to be able to convey that message. The Sahaba, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they conveyed it to the next generation, then the next generation. And then the scholars followed that, and they took up from that. And they conveyed it to the people. So here the word nasiha, to advise, means to be sincere. And the one who is sincere is the one who is sincere in his actions. That he only does it for Allah's sake alone. His actions, when he's doing something, he doesn't do it for showing off. He doesn't do it for some worldly benefit. He doesn't say it so people can say, oh, look at his salah, his namaz, he's very long, look, mashallah. Yeah. He doesn't do it for that. He only does it for Allah, to get to Allah's paradise. And this is why we follow Islam. The Muslim only follows Islam because he wants to get to Allah's paradise. But we have amongst the people, Allah has put this there, that you'll find there's Muslims, and you'll find there's hypocrites, you'll find that there's munafiqs, and then even kuffar amongst the people. Okay, amongst the people. But for the Muslim, he worships Allah Azza wa Jal to get to his paradise. Another statement regarding the linguistic meaning of nasiha, and these are very important because they give us a comprehensive understanding, a total understanding of the hadith of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he says, Adina nasiha. To who? Who is this sincerity to? So, Ibn al-Daqiq al-Eid, these names you may be not familiar with, but these are great scholars of hadith and tafsir and the sciences of Islam. And it is very important that we revive, especially the scholars of old and the scholars who follow the sunnah, revive their names and get acquainted, get familiar with who these scholars are. So Ibn Daqiq al-Eid, who is one of the great scholars, students of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, An-nasiha linguistically means ikhlas, sincerity. This is what it's about at the end of the day. It depends how sincere we are to Allah that we will fulfill and we will follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. How sincere we are. Yes, I say I love the Prophet. Everybody says that. Even some Muslims, they go to the extent that they want to have a celebration for the day that the Prophet was born. They say, we love the Prophet. This is why we celebrate him. But the way to love the Prophet ﷺ is to find out what he did, what were his actions, and how did the Sahaba implement those actions. So this celebration, do we find the Sahaba doing that? No, we don't find that. Oh, you people are being too strict. Why are you saying these type of things? Why can't we just do it? No, like we mentioned in the Khutbah al-Hajj in the beginning, every newly invented matter in the religion is a misguidance. Then how can Islam be perfect? How can Islam be complete if we're introducing new things? So to love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to follow him and to follow the companions, the radiallahu anhum ajma'in, those who were the students of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So an-nasiha linguistically means ikhlas, sincerity. He also said, there's not from the speech of the Arabs a single word which would give the exact meaning of this word in one sentence. Due to the strength of its meaning. So, because some people, they translate ad-din and nasiha, ad-din is advice. A religion is advice. So we find them using their own understanding, using their own intellect, to say, well, it's okay to do protests. We want to go out and make demonstrations and protest, and we want to call for our haq, for our rights. First of all, they don't go to Allah Azza wa Jal, they don't turn to Allah Azza wa Jal to make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal for Allah's help. They don't turn to the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to find out, did he do this? Is this the way that we call to Allah Azza wa Jal? Is this the way that we ask for our rights? And this is why you find that this word, ad-deen al-nasiha, while some people translate it that deen is advice, sometimes it's not correct. That's why the scholars mention ad-deen al-nasiha, ad-deen is sincerity. Ad-deen is sincerity. That's the correct translation of this word. Okay, and we'll see how it progresses. So the first thing is the deen al-nasiha. We find from a great scholar, he was a muhaddith. Yeah, he was a great scholar of hadith. His name was Muhammad Hayat al-Sindi. Yeah, this was before Pakistan and India split up and all this. This is many, 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 200-300 years ago. And he was one of the great teachers of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimullah, the one in Saudi Arabia. He said, the deen is the sincerity in the heart of the slave of Allah, and his turning to the one who brought him into existence from nothing and poured upon him abundant blessings. So deen is the sincerity in the heart of the slave of Allah. And his turning to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is where the sincerity comes in. The ikhlas comes in. That he turns to Allah Azza wa Jal. He makes dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. And we know from the other hadith that we took yesterday, that the victory will come due to their dua, due to their prayer, and due to their sincerity. This is a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How can we now turn around and say, well, yes, it doesn't apply to our time now. No. The deen of Allah Azza wa Jal applies for every time and place. Yeah, every time and place. So making dua to Allah Azza wa Jal, that's the first thing. The second thing is our prayer and our sincerity. This is when the victory of Allah Azza wa Jal will come. So deen is in the sincerity in the heart of the slave, and he's turning to the one who brought him into existence from nothing and poured upon him abundant many blessings, of which are fulfilling Allah's rights. Allah has rights upon us. He created us. So we have to worship Him. We can't turn around and say, well, it's up to me, up to how I feel. I feel like praying today. Tomorrow maybe I don't feel like praying. No, it's not left up to us. Allah created us. And the Muslim, he knows this. He acknowledges this. Because this is a fundamental point in his belief. The kafir, the non-Muslim, he doesn't think about these things. He doesn't think about, was he created or anything like this. They don't think about these things. But for the Muslim, he knows this. So he worships Allah Azza wa Jal, and he gives Allah's rights. And the rights of his creation, giving the people their rights, by carrying out that which brings a person closer to Allah with actions and beliefs. And keeping away from that which takes you away from Allah. So the Muslim is always careful. He's paying attention. He's aware. What are those things which keep me away from Allah? I have to keep away from those things. I have to do those things which bring me closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And also by fulfilling the heart with loving Him. So we fill our hearts with loving Allah. And to love that what Allah loves. So this is what the Muslim does. This is deen sincerity. Sincerity. There's another statement regarding this as well, and this is from the great scholar of hadith, Sheikh Abdul Mohsin Abbad Al-Badr, hafizahullah. He's one of the great scholars of hadith in Medina. He teaches in the Prophet's masjid. You know, this is an honor that Allah gives. Only Allah gives this honor. And Allah gave him this honor, and he's a great scholar of hadith in the Prophet's masjid. And he teaches the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, regarding this action of sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, having sincerity in Allah's Tawheed and characterizing Him with all perfect and magnificent characteristics. Tawheed means to single out Allah alone with worship. He's our Lord. He's the one we have to worship. And He is complete and perfect in every sense. Allah has no shortcomings whatsoever. Human beings have all the shortcomings and weaknesses, but Allah is perfect in all senses. In all senses. It has to be, because this is Allah. So when these people, they make these idols and statues, these are deficient.
These are deficient, but Allah is perfect. And the Shaykh says, knowing that Allah is free from all what contradicts and opposes Tawheed. And so sincerity to Allah Azawajal is keeping away from sinning and disobedience to Him. And establishing his obedience and loving Him with the characteristics of Ikhlas. Loving for His sake and hating for His sake. Striving against the one who disbelieves in Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also everything that which is similar to the preceding points, and calling to them and encouraging the people on those points. So when the Prophet said, "Ad-Din al-Nasiha," Deen is sincerity, and the companion asked to whom, the Prophet said, "For Allah Azza wa Jal," it means that we have sincerity in Allah's, for Allah's worship. When we worship Allah, we have sincerity in that. Yeah, we have sincerity in that. Then the Prophet said, "Likitabihi," for Allah's book. Sincerity to Allah's book, how? So the Shaykh said, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, he said, having iman in his book and regarding it as great and that it is free from mistakes. So we have iman in Allah's book and we regard it as great. Yeah, we regard this as a holy book. This is a book of from Allah Azza wa Jal. And it is free from mistakes. It does have no mistakes in the Quran whatsoever. The same, when the revelation came and was written down at the time of the Sahaba, that same mushaf, that same wording continues till today. For example, if the Imam leads the prayer, the people behind him, even if he makes a mistake in one letter, they would correct him. They say, hold on, this has been preserved. And Allah Azza wa Jal promised that He will protect His book. And there is no other book like that whatsoever. There is no other book like the Quran. But the problem with the Muslims is that we get the Quran, we wrap it up in a nice cloth, put it on a nice high shelf. When somebody's getting married, we put it above their heads. Yeah? Or when somebody dies, we start reading it very quickly to get the reward and pass the reward onto the dead. This is the way of the Muslims. But really, the Quran is a book which needs to be read. The word Quran itself, from one of the meanings in Arabic, is it's a recital, something that is read. And the scholars have always told us that we have to reflect upon what you're reading. Yeah? Reflect upon your reading. Imagine when we stand for prayer. When we stand for prayer, and we know what we're reciting, how much more of an effect that's going to have on our prayer, on our khushu, on our humility, and our turning to Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why you find from the early days of the Salaf are the first three generations, the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, Atba Tabi'in, the Sahaba, the companions, and those who followed them, and those who followed them. They are known as the Salaf, okay, the first three generations of Muslims. You'll find they said that when we pray or recite the Quran, it's like as if we're conversing with Allah Azza wa Jal. It's like as if we're conversing, because they were turning to Allah Azza wa Jal, because they understood what it meant. And that's why it's very important that we, when we pray, that we learn, what am I actually saying in my prayer? Yeah? And try to visualize what I'm saying. Visualize the Surah Fatiha, visualize the ayat that are being recited. And you see the effect that it has on your heart and your khushu in the prayer. It's amazing. Amazing. And especially if you go into learning Arabic as well. SubhanAllah. And this is where the strength will come for the iman. So having sincerity for Allah's book is having iman in the book and regarding it as great, and that it is free from mistakes. Reciting Allah's book truthfully and holding on to its commands and prohibitions. You know, nowadays you find amongst the Muslims, when they want to justify something, what do? They pick up the Quran. They say, there's a verse in the Quran that proves what I want to do. Yeah? They all do that. All the Muslims. Even the criminal who's a robber, thief. Yeah? He'll say, see, in the Quran, Allah says He created everything for us. So I will go and steal something. Yeah? Even he will say so. He'll say, I justify from the Quran. No, this is not correct. The Quran is understood from this hadith, the statements of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the Quran, and the Sahaba, the companions, implemented the Quran. One very simple example: we find a verse in the Quran, "Waman lam yahkum bima anzalallahu fa ulaika hum kafirun." Yeah, whoever does not judge with what Allah has revealed, then he is from the kuffar, and he is from the kafirun. The people, they take this one verse, or say, let me say, sorry, rephrase that. The young, foolish people, they take this one verse, and they see, that's it. Everybody's not Muslim, because they don't judge by what Allah has revealed. This is not correct. You can't just take ayat from the Quran and apply them wherever you feel is correct. You have to go back and find out, what did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? What did the Sahaba understand these ayat with? And we find that this verse was actually applying to the kuffar, the Ahlul Kitab, firstly. The scholars of Islam, the scholars of Tafsir, the scholars who do research, yeah, they said that this actually was applied to the Ahlul Kitab, not to the Muslims. And then Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the great scholar of Tafsir, the great scholar of Tafsir of the Quran, he said, this is kufr duna kufr. This is a kufr lesser than the kufr that you think. Yani, it's not the kufr that takes a person outside the fold of Islam. It's not the kufr that takes a person outside the fold of Islam. Because we all make mistakes. We all have sins. We all have something that we've done wrong. Yeah, you can't just take this and apply to anybody and everybody. Yeah, this is not correct. The correct way is to go back to the, and that's why the Muslim Ummah is so much in need of the methodology of the Salaf, the manhaj of the Salaf, the way they understood things. Because why? We have so much chaos amongst the Muslim Ummah. Now you name the country, you name the Muslim country, there's chaos. Except those people who go back to the correct understanding of the religion. And how we know this is the correct understanding? Because it's the best of the people. How can any Muslim deny what Ibn Abbas said? Ibn Abbas is the companion of the Prophet ﷺ. He saw the Prophet ﷺ. He heard from the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ taught him. The Muslim Ummah is in need of the methodology, the manhaj of the Salaf, so we can have the correct understanding and we can worship Allah correctly. This is such a need that we go back to. And there's so many ayat in the Quran, and inshallah we'll try to cover some of them, about going back to the correct understanding of the first three generations, the understanding of the Sahaba, the understanding of the Salaf. So here's the Sheikh Abdul Mohsin Abad, he said, reciting Allah's book truthfully and holding on to its commands and prohibitions, understanding its sciences and its similitudes that it mentions, reflecting upon its ayat and inviting to the book, defending it against the distortion, that how they twist it, of the extremists. The extremists, they twist the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the criticism of the atheists against it. Okay? So the Quran is something which needs to be studied. Yeah? We read the Quran, of course we have to read the Quran. We read the Quran for the reward. We read the Quran to increase our iman. But we need to study the Quran. We need to study the Quran so from the tafsir, from the sciences of the Quran, and study the Quran so we can have the correct understanding and then implement it, and then we can have that, you know, that sweetness. You know that sweetness? You know when we stand and pray, and we, and those times when you're feeling really sincere and you're feeling, oh mashallah, my iman is high. So we can have that sweetness of iman in our hearts when we go back and study the Quran. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, he said, it's for lillahi wa li kitabihi wa li rasulihi, that this sincerity, ad-din and nasiha, is for his messenger. So here the Shaykh, hafidhullah, he said, sincerity for his messenger ﷺ is similar to the previous point, similar. Yani having iman in him. Yani loving the Prophet ﷺ. Having a belief that the Prophet ﷺ came as my teacher. He came for me to follow him. His example is the best example. Yeah? So when we ask questions to people about Islam, we say to them, excuse me, could you just tell me the proof, the evidence? Where did the Prophet ﷺ say this? This is a good way of protecting ourselves. And asking, what is the proof? Because a lot of times, in some countries, yeah, in the villages, the imam will give the khutbah. And he will quote things. And the people will take these things. And they don't even know if it's in the Quran or in the Hadith. They don't even know, the people. Because they don't go back and read the Quran and study the Quran. They don't go back to the Hadith and study the Hadith. They don't go find out what is the methodology of the Salaf in implementing these texts. So they don't even know what the Imam and the Khatib is saying. Okay? So having Iman in him, in the Prophet ﷺ, with what he brought. With what he brought. What did the Prophet ﷺ bring? Other than the Sunnah. The pure Sunnah of how to worship Allah correctly. We cannot worship Allah as we feel, which is good. I feel this is good, I will worship Allah. We cannot worship in Allah in another way the Prophet ﷺ didn't worship him in. We can only worship Allah the way the Prophet ﷺ showed us to. Yeah? We can only believe in that which what the Prophet ﷺ believed. We can only follow that way which the Prophet ﷺ was upon. So having Iman in him with what he brought. Having respect and honor for him. This is something the Muslims hold. They have respect and honor for him. Holding fast to his obedience. Reviving the messenger's sunnah. And seeking guidance of its sciences and spreading them. And we saw this from the companions. Some of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ loved him so much. And they would follow him so much. They would even follow him in those things which were Ada, which were his habits and practices. The Prophet ﷺ, his sunnah is ibadah and ada. His sunnah, yeah, is which is worship. The Prophet ﷺ ordered something. He recommended something. Yeah, he encouraged something. He allowed something. This is from the sunnah of ibadah. And there's another sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, which is sunnah al-ada, his own practice of the Prophet ﷺ. And some of the companions, they used to even follow him in that. They used to even love him so much, they would follow him in his ada, in following his customs. That if the Prophet ﷺ didn't like a certain food, they would ask, Ya Rasulullah, is this haram? They said, no, I just don't like it, or it's not from the food of my people. And not that he didn't like it, sorry. It's not from the food of his people, that's what he would say. So the Sahab would say, okay, I'm not going to eat this. Look how much concern they had for following that. And this is why we had to take our understanding from them. So the Shaykh says, so Nasiha is showing enmity to the one who is an enemy to the Messenger and the enemy of the Sunnah. The enemy of the Sunnah. And these are the type of people who always protest against the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Having loyalty, Al-Wala, to the one who is loyal to him and to his sunnah. So we stick to those people who follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. To have the model of his manners and to behave with his behavior and to have love for his family and his companions, etc. Okay, so this is the third part. So, لِلَّهِ وَلِكِتَابِهِ وَلِرِسُولِهِ. This is where we have sincerity towards. Okay, and these are very important points. Why? Because they are foundational points in our methodology, in our religion, so we can follow the Book of Allah, we can worship Allah sincerely, and follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Next thing, it's amazing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, "Lillahi, wali kitabihi, wali rasulihi, wali aimat al muslimin." Look at the importance that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam paid to this. He said, وَلِعَيْمَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ Yani the leaders of the Muslims. Nasiha, deen al-Nasiha, sincerity, is to the leaders of the Muslims. Because what the Prophet ﷺ spoke were very, what is called, Jawami al-Kalim in Arabic. Jawami al-Kalim means like comprehensive speech. In these few words, but very deep, very profound, very deep in meaning. Yeah, very deep in meaning. Ad-Din al-Nasiha. Two words. Probably we've already memorized it in this life today. Ad-Din al-Nasiha. Okay? For who? Lillahi, likitabihi, wa lirusulihi, wa li'aimat al-Muslimin. The leaders of the Muslims. And this is a scale, a factor, a line that we judge by for the people of Sunnah, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The people of following the way of the Salaf. Yeah, this is a deciding line that when the Prophet ﷺ said this, advice, you see her sincerity to the leaders of the Muslims. What did he mean by this? And how is it understood within, in context with all the other hadith of the Prophet ﷺ regarding the rulers? Because the revelation that came to the Prophet ﷺ is comprehensive. And it is in context. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that situations will occur when the people will have to sort of deal with their rulers, the Muslim rulers. Either the ruler might be oppressive, or maybe the people are oppressive against him. It could work that way as well. And how is the situation with the ruler and the people that are ruled? The hakim, the ruler, and the people that are ruled. Okay? All of this, Allah Azza wa Jal didn't leave us in darkness to look around which is the correct way. Allah Azza wa Jal sent us guidance for the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and for the example of the Sahaba and the Salaf, the first three generations. You know, one of the great scholars in Saudi Arabia, Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said, one of the wisdom why bid'ah innovation occurred after the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but amongst the time of the companions. Some people, they started doing new things, new innovation, innovating new things into the religion. He said, why? The reason being, so we would know how to deal with innovations. SubhanAllah, look at Allah's mercy. Allah's mercy that we have guidelines of how to deal with these new things that people invent, like protests, demonstrations, and you're going against the ruler and all these type of things, which is from the methodology of the Khawarij, from the very early age, where they rebelled against who? Ali radiallahu anhu. Who did they rebel against? Uthman radiallahu anhu, the best of the people, the best of the leaders. They rebelled against him. Yeah, this is for the methodology of the Khawarij. So the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal shows us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us that we have rules and regulations of how to deal with these type of situations, because bid'ah occurred at the time of the Sahaba after the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we would know how to deal with it. Okay. So here we have the next part of the hadith. وَلِعَيْمَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Okay, the leaders of the Muslims. The Shaykh says, which means the khulafa and their rulers. So nasiha is to aid, support them on the truth. The khulafa, yani the khalifa, and their ministers. Yeah, and that also applies to rulers as well. So nasiha is to aid and support them on the truth. To aid and support the Muslim ruler on the truth. And to have obedience to them in this. Bringing to their attention and reminding them with gentleness and kindness. And we'll see later on from one of the statements of Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, one of the great scholars, how do you advise the ruler? Okay? So bringing to their attention and reminding them with gentleness and kindness. Who doesn't like to be reminded with gentleness and kindness? Who likes to be, reminded in a harsh way? None of us. Nobody likes to be reminded in a harsh way. Somebody coming to you and shouting at you. Nobody. So why is it that some of the Muslims want to do that to the ruler? The Prophet ﷺ actually said, if you want to advise the ruler, take him by his hand and in private, in secret, advise him. And this was the way of the Salaf, the Sahaba. They used to do this. They used to do this, and we'll see this as a narration later on. So nobody likes to be reminded in a harsh way. We must remind each other and even the ruler, in a gentle and a kind way. Gentle and a kind way. So somebody will accept it. Because if you come down on somebody very hard, like a ton of bricks, they will not listen to you. Their guard will go up, and they will not listen to you. Okay? So the Shaykh said, bring it to their attention and reminding them with gentleness and kindness. Keeping away from rebelling against them. Keeping away from rebelling. Getting rid of them, we have to fight the rulers, supplicating for them for success. And he's making dua for them. Who wouldn't like somebody making dua for him? Everybody would love that somebody makes dua for you. Yeah? Oh Allah, correct him. Oh Allah, correct him. Because at the end of the day, it's only Allah that can correct us. Only Allah Azza wa Jal. The guidance is from the hearts of the believers are between the fingers of Ar-Rahman. Yeah, the hearts of the believers are between the fingers of Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns it how He wills. Allah turns it how He wills. So if you make dua to Allah azawajal to guide somebody, and this was the manhaj, the methodology of the Salaf, that they would make dua for their leaders. Make dua for their leaders, that, oh Allah, guide him. Oh Allah, guide him. Oh Allah, correct him. This is the correct way. Protests, demonstrations, causing chaos, people not being have to be security. This is all ways of corruption. This is the way of the kuffar. Actually, the scholars mention that demonstration and protests is taken from the kuffar of the West, because this is what they want the people to do. Because they don't want, they want to pacify the people, so the leaders still stay in control, in authority. So they got the people, they say, you can make a protest, this is your right. This is rubbish, this doesn't change anything. This kuffar, they invented these techniques. This is not from the way of the Muslims. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't walk out and make a demonstration. The Sahaba didn't go out and make demonstrations. This is not the correct way. The Muslim turns to Allah Azza wa Jal, makes dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. He pushes himself to worship Allah more correctly, and he has sincerity in his hearts. So here, this is one of the ways that the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad mentioned about sincerity to the leaders. Then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, وَلِأَمَّتِهِمْ and nasiha, sincerity, for لِلَّهِ وَلِكِتَابِهِ وَلِرُسُولِهِ وَلِعَيْمَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَلِأَمَّتِهِمْ. Yeah, for the general Muslims. And how is that? The Shaykh says, and we always turn back to the scholars of the Sunnah, the scholars of Hadith, to take from their wisdom. Yeah? This scholar, this Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, he's well over 80 plus years old. And he spent all his life studying the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. And these scholars, don't think that they don't advise the rulers, they do. You'll find even like Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, you'll find many letters that he's written to certain rulers to advise them. Yeah? It's not left up to the people like me and you to advise them. You know, for example, if a child comes, your son, for example, and he comes and he says to his father, oh, you're doing this wrong, and the father's not going to listen to his son. Who are you to advise me? Huh? This is natural. This is natural. So it's not left up to anybody and everybody to advise, for example, the ruler. It is left up to the people of knowledge. There's a system in Islam. It is rules and regulations. It's not chaos. It's not chaotic. Islam is a very beautiful religion. You know, whenever we have a situation, a terrorist situation, yeah, and generally Muslims come out, Islam is a religion of peace. No, Islam is a religion of submission to the rules and regulations. Islam is a religion. It doesn't have chaos. It doesn't have all this fitna and everything. No, Islam is a religion of submitting to Allah Azza wa Jal, submitting to those rules correctly. It's not chaos, and it's not like they say it's a religion of peace. No, it is peaceful. It is peaceful, but it's not peace in itself. Okay, it's not peace in itself. So Islam has rules and regulations. So the Shaykh said, these are all the general people, the general Muslims, other than the leaders from amongst them. So nasiha is to direct them to what is beneficial for them. What is beneficial for me as a general Muslim? What can I benefit from? Yeah, this is what we need to look at. How is it that I'm going to benefit? I need to learn my religion. Okay, teaching them the matters of their deen and their dunya. Yeah, deen and the dunya. Okay, it's not that we say, that's it. Now I just grow my beard and don't do anything, just make dhikr of Allah in the masjid. No, there's deen and there's dunya together. Okay, covering their faults and fulfilling their needs and helping them against their enemies and defending them. Keeping away from cheating them. Keeping away from cheating them. This is sincerity to the Muslims. Keeping away from cheating them. Or having jealousy for them. Okay, and this is one of the biggest problems amongst the Ummah, Muslim Ummah. Because we haven't gone back to the way of the Salaf, the methodology of the Salaf, of how they implemented worship, how they implemented belief, how did they implement mu'amala, dealings, mannerisms. So you find one of the biggest problems amongst the Ummah, any Muslim country, just you name it, lying. lying is so widespread amongst the Muslims, it's very difficult to trust them, because the lying has become so easy on the tongue. Yeah? Okay? Cheating. Yeah, because we want this dunya. Yeah? It's become very everywhere. Okay? And having jealousy. Why should a Muslim have jealousy? Because everything that the Muslim has is not from his own hands. We don't say, I did my degree, or I did this business, or I achieved this high status, I have so much money. No. We say, Allah gave me this degree. Allah gave me this business. Allah gave me this job. Allah gave me this house. Allah gave me this car. Allah blessed me with this. And when we do that, you'll find that the fruit of it is even greater. The sweetness of that is even greater. Yeah, and Allah will give you more. If you're thankful to Allah, Allah will increase you in what you have. But when we start saying, no, it's me. I achieved this. Yeah, this is when we start falling short. This is when we start losing out on the barakah, on the blessings of this. Because Allah gives, okay? And to love for them what you love for yourself, and to hate for them what you hate for yourself, and in the Muslims, and all those things which are similar to these things. Okay, so this is the quote by Sheikh Abdul Mohsin Abbad, hafizahullah, regarding these aspects of the hadith. The section that we want to look at is this aspect of those in authority amongst you, because it's a very important issue. Because we find some of the young, foolish Muslims, they want to go out and they want to, for example, rebel and fight jihad and remove the ruler and organize parties and operations and militant operations, these type of things. No, we need to go back and find out what was the correct way. The correct way, because that correct way will achieve blessings. Any other way will lead on for many, many years and trials. I mean, imagine what's happening in Syria. Yeah? It really becomes very sad for the heart when we see little children not being able to eat food, not being able to eat bread. Why? Who caused this? Those people who rebelled. Syria was a stable country. It was a stable country. Yeah? Yes, the ruler, whatever the situation was with him, and he was oppressing the people and everything, but people were eating, people were alive, people were secure in their homes to some extent. Now what is it? For many, many years. How many years? It's been many years now. And Allah knows best how long it will continue. The chaos and the problems and all because they wanted to rebel against a ruler. They took the actions of the kuffar, protests and demonstrations, and they implemented it in the Muslim countries. And look, no barakah whatsoever. And now poor children, yeah, they can't eat. Yeah, and we see this in the newspapers all the time. How these, children can't even eat, can't even get any bread, and they're, starving. Before they could, and now with this situation, it proves that this what they're doing is wrong. The result proves that what they're doing is wrong. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take out an expedition or a campaign or give dawah somewhere, they would always take in consideration what the expected result is. It wasn't based upon, yes, let's just go out there and do something. No. It was based upon knowledge. It was based upon expectations. Yeah? What's happened in these countries is horrible. It's horrible. And we feel this because these mothers and sisters and children and brothers, and all because a few people want you to rebel against this leader. Okay, so that's why it's very important that we look at this type of situation. So we find from the Prophet from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, obey Allah and His Messenger and those in authority amongst you. Obey Allah and His Messenger and those in authority amongst you. Ibn Kathir, rahimullah, one of the great mufassir, tafsir, explainers of the Quran, he said, In this ayah, he said, they are the leaders and the scholars. Those in authority amongst you, yeah, they are the leaders and the scholars. Both of them, the leaders for your dunya and the scholars for your hereafter. Yeah, this is what the people of knowledge are saying. So for the scholars, we find that the scholars of the sunnah and the hadith, they are the best of the ummah. Why? Because we find from a statement from a great imam, who died in the year 360 Al-Hijra, very early, early generation, Al-Ajurri, rahimullah, he said, the sign of those for whom Allah intended good for, the sign for those who for whom Allah intended good for, is that they follow this way, which is the book of Allah, Azza wa Jal, the sunnah of Muhammad, of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah of the companions radhiyallahu anhum, and those who follow them in goodness rahmatullahi alayhim, and what the scholars of the Muslims were upon in every country until the last of the scholars. Okay, so he said, the sign for those whom Allah intended good for. There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Man yuridillahi khayran yufaqihu fid din. Man yuridillahu khayran yufaqihu fid din. Whoever Allah intends good for, He gives him an understanding of the religion. How? That is what is real goodness. That is what is good. Whoever Allah wants good for, wants to give him something good, gives him an understanding of the religion. And the understanding of the religion, like the Shaykh is mentioning here, he said, is that you follow this way, which is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you don't start coming from your own intellect, your own desires, your own feelings, and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani the kitab and the sunnah, and the sunnah of the companions. That's why the methodology of the salaf, the manhaj of the salaf is so important, how they implemented the hadith, okay? The sunnah of the companions radhiyallahu anhum, and those who follow them in goodness, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Khayran nas al-qarni, the best generation is my generation, then the next, and then the next. And this is hadith mentioned in Sahih Muslim, and there's other wordings for this. And those who follow them in goodness, rahmatullah alayhim, and what the great scholars of the Muslims were upon in every country until the last of the scholars. And then he gives an example of some of the scholars, the likes of Awza'i, Sufyan al-Thawri, Malik ibn Anas, Ash-Shafi'i, Ahmed ibn Hanbal, Al-Qasim ibn Musallam, and those who were on the like of their path. These scholars were united in their aqidah, in their belief, and in their methodology. And to keep away from every madhab that these scholars did not go to. So the companions of the Prophet ﷺ were scholars, and that was the correct way of understanding, and following their understanding is the correct way, and the scholars that took from them. Okay, we find that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentioned that these people who attach themselves to the sunnah, okay, they are the ones who are most knowledgeable. They are the ones that are most knowledgeable with the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And regarding the people of knowledge, it is important that we mention them with goodness. Yes, they're human beings. The ulama, the scholars, are human beings. But Allah has given them a preference. Allah has given them a status. Man yuridillahi khayran, whoever Allah intends good for, yufaqihu fi ddeen. He gives them an understanding of the religion. And the scholars are the ones who have an understanding of the religion. For example, these issues that we come across in the world today. How many of us actually have read the books of fiqh regarding these issues of jihad and the rulers and everything? Nobody. Very few. Only the ulama read these books. Because they're very, very big collections. Yeah? Books of hadith regarding these type of topics. Only the ulama, because they're very, very big collections. Okay? So the people of knowledge have to be mentioned with goodness. There's a very nice statement by Imam Tahawi, rahimahullah. He said, وَالْعُلَمَاءَ السَّلَفْ مِنَ السَّابِقِينَ وَمِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ From the scholars, from the salaf, and from those who preceded, those who have preceded, those who have gone past. مِنَ التَّابِئِينَ أَحْلُ الْخَيْرِ وَأَثَرِ They are from the people of goodness and athar. The athar is statements of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. وَأَحْلُ الْفِقْهِ وَالنَّذَرِ And they are the people of fiqh and insight. لَا يَذْكُرُونَ إِلَّا بِالْجَمِيلِ They are not mentioned except with goodness. So we only say good things about the scholars. We don't say bad things against them. We don't curse them and belittle them and say horrible things about the scholars, the Muslim, the people of knowledge. Allah has chosen them. And we come along and say bad things about them? No. لَا يَذْكُرُونَ إِلَّا بِالْجَمِيلِ وَمَنْ ذَكَرْهُمْ بِالسُّوءِ فَهُوَ عَلَى غَيْرِ السَّبِيلِ And whoever mentions them with evil, then he is not on the correct path. Yeah, again in English, as for the scholars from the Salaf, and those who have preceded, and from those who came after them from the Tabi'een, The people of goodness and athar, and the people of fiqh and insight, are not mentioned except with goodness. And whoever mentions them with evil, either cursing them or saying bad things about them, like some of the young foolish people do, then he's not on the correct path. Let's look at a couple of statements regarding the rulers. Sheikh Abdul Salam Burgis, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's a scholar of manhaj, methodology, and aqidah from Saudi Arabia, rahimahullah, he passed away some time ago. He said, backbiting or talking against the honor of the rulers, and busying yourself in cursing them, reviling them, and mentioning their shortcomings is a grave mistake and an evil crime. And he's talking, saying bad things against these rulers, look what they do, wasting the money of the Muslims and doing this and oppressing everybody, yeah? And busying yourself with this. Because it's better for us to learn some hadith which we can implement. It's better for the Muslim that he learns something from the ulama, from the scholars, from the way of the Salaf, that he can practice and benefit himself with. He said, mentioning these things, their shortcoming is a grave mistake and an evil crime, which has been prohibited in the pure Sharia. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of creation, the leader of the prophets, he said, listen and obey. There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim. Hear and obey the Muslim ruler, even if he whips your back and takes your money. Even if he whips your back and takes your money. Hadith in Sahih Muslim. How can people reject this? The Prophet, look at the example the Prophet ﷺ is giving. He said, even if they whip your backs and take your wealth, be patient and obey them. Have sabr. Allah will take that away after a short time. Allah is testing us. This life is a test. This whole life, this life that Allah has given us, this soul that Allah has given, is a test for us. He says, even if they whip your backs and take your wealth. But alhamdulillah, they're not whipping our backs. They're not taking our wealth. They, you know, they're not doing these type of things. And still we find Muslims saying, no, we don't listen to him. He's a kafir. He's not a Muslim. Astaghfirullah. How can you do this? The Sharia prohibits these things. You know, we've tried to follow them in that which is good, in what they advise us with good and good for the deen and the dunya. We follow them. We accept that. And we're patient. And if there is a problem, then we ask Allah to change that. We ask Allah, because Allah is the one who brought that. Allah is the one who brought it due to our sins, like some of the Salaf mentioned. That because some of the Salaf, some imam, he mentioned, he said, oh, the price of bread, yani, is very expensive now. The prices are very expensive now. And the companion said, and the great scholar from the Salaf, he said, well, bring it down with istighfar. Bring those prices down by you making tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jal. Because why is this difficulties? Because of our sins. Our sins. The sin that we do causes the barakah of Allah to go away. And the prices become higher and the difficulties become more. So when we repent to Allah, when we say astaghfirullah, 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 we get barakah in our lives. And you can try it for yourself. Try it for yourself at any time when you're in situation, any situation you're in, yeah, and there's a difficulty ahead of you. Try, say astaghfirullah. Say astaghfirullah. And you watch how, sincerely, has to be sincere. And you watch how Allah opens up the door. It's amazing. It's amazing. And this has been, you know, from the practice of a lot of the people. That when they say astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. Sincerely, oh Allah, you know, you get the answer in the exam. Yeah, you know, you're sitting there doing a test. In the exam, you don't know the answer. You forgot the answer. You start saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Bam, it's there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the door. Allah tests you and Allah opens up the door. So, to lower these expensive prices, istaghfirullah. Make repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh continues. He says, the one who does so is despised. The one who does these evil things against the ruler, he is despised, he's disliked. This is the same as rebelling against the leader, which is the foundation of corruption in the deen and the dunya together. Then Shaykh Abdul Salam Ibn Burjis, rahimahullah, he quoted a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, and he brings evidence, this is proof now, from Anas ibn Malik radhiallahu anhu, who said, we were prohibited, Anas ibn Malik, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a servant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, we were prohibited by our elders, Yani the older Sahaba. We were prohibited by our elders from amongst the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to say, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not curse your leaders. Do not curse your leaders. And do not cheat them. Yeah? Some people, they say, oh, see this ruler, I don't like him. Or see this ruler, he's oppressive. So I won't pay my taxes. I will cheat him. La 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 la. It doesn't work like that. In Islam, the Prophet ﷺ said, don't cheat the one who cheats you. There's a hadith. Rasul ﷺ, he said, La takhun man khanak. Do not cheat the one who cheats you. Be truthful. Be truthful and Allah will bless you. So the Prophet ﷺ said, do not curse your leaders. Do not cheat them. And do not hate them. And fear Allah. And be patient. Sabr. This is where the test comes in. Be patient. Indeed, the matter is close, i.e. the day of judgment is close. Life goes over like this in the blink of an eye. You know, yesterday we were young, yeah, playing around, and now, white, pain in my knee, getting old. Happens very quickly. Life goes over like that, like a flash. SubhanAllah, the day of judgment, very close. The Prophet ﷺ is telling us, the day of judgment is very close. And so this is the advice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith. Another statement by Imam Abu Muhammad al-Barbahari, one of the great scholars of Aqidah and Manhaj. He said, if you see a man supplicating against the leader, if you see a man saying, supplicating, making dua against the leader, then know that he is a person who follows desires. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't do these things. Okay? He follows desires. And if you see a man supplicating for the leader for rectification, Oh Allah, rectify him. Oh Allah, make him a good man. Oh Allah, put him in a good position. Oh Allah, guide him to the sunnah. Oh Allah, help us. These type of things, okay? If you see a man supplicating for the leader for rectification, then know that person is a companion of the sunnah, inshallah. Then you know he's a person of the sunnah, because this was the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the sunnah of the companions. This was the sunnah of the manhaj of the salaf, the first three generations. Let's end with one quote. It's a long quote, sorry. And it's the methodology, the manhaj of correcting the rulers from the great Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimullah. Sheikh ibn Baz rahimullah was one of the great scholars of Islam who passed away. A number of years ago. But he was a very gentle scholar, very soft-hearted man, and we know this from his words and his dealings and his speech and everything. And by the way, Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimullah was also blind. He was also blind, but he was such a great scholar that Allah had given him, you know, that everybody in the ummah loved Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimullah. Okay, and he's bringing. He was asked a question about the methodology of correcting the rulers. Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah was asked, is it from the manhaj, the methodology of the Salaf, to criticize the rulers? When we say Salaf, we mean, you know, the first three generations and the scholars that followed, the people that followed the Sunnah. It's very important that we become familiar with these terms, yeah, because this term Salaf, as people have kept away from it. People haven't been introduced to this term, the Salaf. Salaf is a very easy term, meaning those who preceded. Yani the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the successors, and those succeeded them, and the scholars that took from them. Okay, so is it from the manhaj, the methodology of the Salaf, to criticize the rulers from the member, yani on the Jummah Khutbah, to criticize them? And what is the manhaj of the Salaf with respect to advising the rulers? He responded, it is not from the manhaj of the Salaf to publicize the faults of the rulers and to mention such things from the pulpit, from the minbar, because that leads to confusion, disorder, and the absence of hearing and obeying the ruler in what is good. It also results in the people becoming engrossed with these matters, becoming busy with these matters, arguing, debating, all is just busy. You see the ruler, that's all they're talking about. You ask them, when did you last read Quran? When did you last open the Quran and read the book of Allah? Oh, don't ask us about this. We are busy with something else, more important. What is more important than the book of Allah? The Quran? Yeah? When was the last time that you remembered Allah, the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in the correct way? No, we are busy with greater things. You people are people who, you know, taking us backwards. No, we are the people who follow the sunnah, the correct methodology of implementing this. So it results in people becoming busy, arguing, debating, which causes harm and produces no benefit. There's no benefit in this, debating all the time. Okay? The followed path with the salaf, however, is to give nasiha, advice, with respect to the matters which are between themselves and the leader. Writing to him, yani personally, or by reaching him through the scholars who keep in touch with him to advise him until the ruler is directed towards the good. Okay? And I've seen this with my own eyes in Saudi Arabia. Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz advising the king at that time, King Fahd, rahimahullah ta'ala, King Fahd ibn Abdulaziz, rahimahullah, was advising him, talking to him. And they showed this on television. They showed this on television clearly. And the Sheikh was getting angry with the king. With the king of Saudi Arabia, you know. And they used to have a lot of respect between each other. Even when Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah became sick, King Fahd went out in a car which was blacked out, the windows were blacked out, with no security guards, and went to visit Sheikh ibn Baz rahimahullah, because the secretary of Sheikh ibn Baz, he said that somebody came with a car and parked up at the gate. So I went to see who was this person. And they put the window down and he uncovered his face, and it was the king of Saudi Arabia, with no guards, no security, went to visit Sheikh bin Baz, rahimullah, because Sheikh bin Baz was very sick, and he was very old and very sick. So he shows that they had a lot of respect, okay? So we know that there are scholars who keep in touch and advise the rulers. The Sheikh said, Hafidhullah rahimahullah, repelling the evil occurs without mentioning the doer of the evil. Sometimes you don't need to mention who did the evil action. Yeah? You don't need to mention him. Yeah? And this was the way of the Prophet as well. So fornication, drinking of intoxicants, and the taking of interest are curbed without mentioning the one who does these things. Warding off the evil and warning the people against it is sufficient without it being mentioned that such and such a person does it, whether it is a ruler or other than the ruler. Okay? And when the fitna occurred in the time of Uthman, some of the people said to Usama ibn Zayd, "Will you not speak to Uthman?" So he replied, "You think that I will not talk to him without letting you know also that I have to tell you that I'm advising him?" This is not the case. The ulama, we know, alhamdulillah, by Allah's blessings, they advise the rulers. Advise the rulers, okay? "Indeed, I will certainly talk to him regarding that which concerns me and him without starting a matter which I do not love to be the first to start." And when they, the Sheikh said, "And when they, the Khawarij, opened up the evil in the time of Uthman and rejected Uthman openly." You know these people who went against Uthman, you know what it was for? It was for dunya. It was for dunya, worldly things. It wasn't anything really religious. They were people, just general common folk. They didn't have anything, but they wanted the dunya. Just like at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he had come back from a battle. Yeah, this hadith, well-known hadith in Sahih Bukhari, came back from a battle, and he had all these gatherings from the battle, the gold, silver, whatever, you know, the wealth and everything. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I remember, he's the best of creation. The best of creation. Yeah, Allah's chosen one, okay? He gave some wealth to some people, to this tribe, and this tribe. This man came along, he said, "Ya Muhammad, ittaqillah." He said, "Oh Muhammad, fear Allah." He said, "Be just, for verily you have been unjust." SubhanAllah. How the audacity, how evil this man is to say to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you are not just. A'udhu billah. We would jump up and fight that man, anybody who says anything against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this man, he had the courage to say this. He said, "Be just, for verily you are unjust." Okay? Why? Because he thought, "Ya Rasulullah, how can you give wealth to people who already have wealth?" You understand? The tribes, they already had money. They already had wealth. Why are you giving it to them? Subhanallah. You know, the scholars of Islam, they derive from this action of the Prophet ﷺ that sometimes the leader, he can give money to even to the kuffar to keep away their evil. You have a Muslim country, for example. And the leader, he knows because of, you know, intelligence and many other factors, he knows that somebody is going to attack the country. Yeah? So he gives money to keep their evil, to protect the people. This is permissible. This is permissible. Yeah? The Prophet ﷺ sometimes gave wealth to people to they were new to Islam. People that were new to Islam, he gave them wealth to encourage them. Encourage them to stick to hold on to Islam. So there were many, many different ways. So this man, he said, O Muhammad, be just, for verily you are unjust. And what did Khalid ibn Walid do? And in another narration, Umar ibn Abdul said, Ya Rasulullah, allow me to kill him. Allow me to kill him. He says this horrible thing. And the Prophet ﷺ said, No, don't kill him. Because I don't want the people to say that Muhammad kills his followers. Look at the wisdom that the Prophet ﷺ is using. He doesn't want chaos. He doesn't want commotion. He doesn't want everything to be relaxed. So the Prophet ﷺ said, no, leave him, because I don't want the people to think that Muhammad kills his followers. Then the Prophet ﷺ said that from this man, his name was Dhul Khuwaysah, from this man will come people. There will be people that will come, and they will recite the Quran, but it will not go past their throat. And you compare your salat, your prayer to theirs, it's like nothing. Their prayer is so much. And your reading of Quran is nothing compared to their reading of the Quran. But they will leave the religion so quickly, like the arrow goes through the animal that it goes through. Because the arrow is very sharp, it goes straight through. It shows how quickly they will leave the religion. This man was the grandfather of the Khawarij, or the father of the Khawarij. These people who rebelled against, because this man, he rebelled against the Prophet ﷺ. He rebelled against the Prophets of Hukam. Yeah? And likewise, we find those people at the time of Uthman radhiallahu anhu. They rebelled against Uthman radhiallahu anhu. What for? For the dunya, like this man. For the dunya. Okay? So this was the situation of these people. They rejected Uthman openly, and the fitna and the kids. So Sheikh bin Baz said, and when they, the Khawarij, opened up the evil in the time of Uthman and rejected Uthman openly, the fitna, the killing and the mischief, which has not ceased to affect the people till this day. Till this day we are suffering. The Muslim Ummah is suffering from these people who are young and foolish. The Prophet ﷺ also mentioned in the hadith that they were young and foolish, these people. They will recite the Quran, it will not enter their hearts. They will not understand the Quran because they don't go to the methodology, the manhaj of the Salaf, which is very, very important. The Quran and the hadith have to be understood in the context of the understanding of the Salaf. This is why we need the manhaj of the Salaf. Okay, which has not ceased till this day, was brought about, and this caused the fitna to occur between Ali and Muawiyah, and Uthman was killed for these reasons. Then the Shaykh continues, he says, furthermore, a large number of companions, others besides him, were also killed due to this open rebelling against the ruler, an open proclamation, open pronouncing of the faults of the ruler, until the people began to hate the one charged with authority over them and killed him. And we ask Allah for success. So we'll end with that statement of Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah. But it just shows us the importance of going back and studying and learning the methodology, the manhaj, the way, the practice of the Salaf. And this will give us success, inshallah. So we'll end there with this. جزاكم الله خيرا for listening. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.